Living the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
Brett Baer, welcome to Living the Bream. It is an honor to have you with
Living
us.
Living the Bream, I love it.
We found it was the right level of cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe too much, but you
No, that's
not
good.
Less than the right amount of cheese. It was, tested with focus groups and all that kind of stuff. We decided that's where we landed.
Well, my blog is the Daily Brett.
So, I like that.
You know.
I mean, exactly. We do what we have to do. It's got to be catchy enough that people remember it.
Right.
So they stick around. Meanwhile, just as is every day this day and age in Washington, you got a busy show tonight. What are you going to lead with?
So I think we're going to lead with tax reform kind of in question with Marco Rubio saying, if you don't increase the child tax credit, then I'm a no. But that's no bueno for the head counters who are looking at the numbers. Senator Corker has already said he has a problem with it. And then you get into just doing the math, and you could have an issue here. We have Senator Hatch on the show, and he is going to, I think, break down where they are and what's ahead. We're following up on that Utah story, the man that is in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Senator Hatch obviously weighs in on that as well. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff, net neutrality. And
I always find that one to be really hard to explain.
Tough to explain, very controversial.
But important.
And emotional. Mm-hmm. And then we have to report on ourselves today because the Fox sale to Disney is making waves all over the media world.
Does this mean that we're going to get to go to Disney World for free or anything good like that?
I just saw Judge Napolitano in a Mickey Mouse outfit. I don't know what happened. I think he's just in the spirit. No, this is totally separate from us. And I think it means that our company is going to focus on news and sports and really expand.
Well, we have plenty in both those arenas to do. Let's talk about, too, all the back and forth this week. And it will certainly continue about the Mueller investigation. John Roberts had reported and others here that they felt like the administration did. It's wrapping up. But it seems like every day we learn a new nugget about somebody who's involved with Mueller's team, was involved with Mueller's team, married to someone involved with Mueller's team. What's your sense? Do you think people are going to accept the Mueller findings, whatever they are? Do you think this is going to be a partisan? If you like the findings, you're happy. If you don't, then Mueller's the worst person ever in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's what they're setting it up to be. There are troubling things that obviously came out, and there are bad apples in a lot of investigations. And the question is, as Rosenstein said yesterday, they pledge to make sure that the whole thing is on the up and up. You know, the other thing is that despite these issues that have come out and the charges that this is part of a giant conspiracy, you have, you know, diehard investigators who have been looking into some interesting aspects of this Russia interference in the election that I think can't be discounted until we see what they come up with.
Yeah, and at the same time, we have the congressional investigations, the intelligence committees, and others who are involved and will put out their own reports. And, you know, it's not a given that they're all going to end up on the same page. In fact, they probably won't.
Right. And I do think, you know, until we get that first element of collusion, we haven't seen it. I mean, all this stuff has leaked. Everything has leaked in these investigations. There hasn't been a leak on significant collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And we don't know what we don't know, but I think it might take a little bit longer than they think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But every time that you or I talk to Democrats as well, and you push them and say, can you point to the collusion? Even they say, well, not exactly. We haven't exactly gotten there yet.
So. Circumstantial evidence, Adam Schiff said over the weekend, this last weekend. I think if you look at special counsels, this is a little different. It's pretty narrow, but all special counsels and prosecutors have started out narrow, and they end up pretty wide. And there hasn't been a single one that hasn't lasted at least 2 years. You know, I mean, some of them have gone 3, 4, 5, 8 years. Ken Starr was almost 4.
And a lot of them end up at places that they never intended, or at least the general public wouldn't have thought they'd end up.
I mean, Whitewater
mandate. Yeah.
Started in Whitewater and ended up in a blue dress in the White House.
I'm not familiar with that story. Yeah, that is the special counsel I think that everybody thinks about most recently, because it certainly went to a place that you know, almost changed history with the potential impeachment or following through on the impeachment of the president. Okay, so Washington in general, what do you make of the atmosphere right now? Because, you know, every day we're hearing about another case involving someone on the Hill potentially in trouble for harassment or other allegations. I mean, you and I have worked around this long enough. I mean, you hear the rumors all the time.
Sure.
But the fact that they're now turning into something and they're turning into resignations is a different phase.
I think it's significant. I think, you know, if you listen to some of the reporters who've been working on this thread, they say there are somewhere between 20 and 35 lawmakers who they are looking at.
I think that's low.
I think it's low.
I do think it's low.
So if you just think about those numbers, that's pretty astonishing. If it all comes to fruition, you're going to be talking about a turn. You talk about cleaning out the swamp. That is that's one way to do it.
Well, okay, so we have Senator Franken saying in the next few weeks he's going to officially leave and resign. Now, my thought when he said it was he's not going anywhere in case Roy Moore wins. If Roy Moore gets to stay here, he's going to say he gets to stay here, too. Now that Roy Moore is lost, that's not going to be an issue. Do you think Franken actually wraps it up and heads out soon?
I think so. I mean, once the governor appoints a successor, it's kind of the writing's on the wall. But I do think I read something in an article that called him the biggest loser of the Alabama race. It's because, you know, they were making the play that this was going to be the deal. I do think that his time is probably weeks, not months.
So what do you make of the Senate now? It's such an interesting thing to see the Republicans doing a bit of a victory dance and that they don't have someone coming here that would be really tough and controversial for them to then have to decide as a party how to deal with. But they just lost a vote on Capitol Hill, whereas we're sitting here talking about tax reform. Every single one of those counts. It's got to put them in a weird place.
It puts them in a weird place. I think that for all the hope of getting Democrats on board with tax reform in particular, it just never happened. And you know, you listen to Joe Manchin from West Virginia, he says they didn't make an effort. They didn't want Democrats on it so they could use it as a, you know, as a weapon in the 2018 election to say Democrats weren't on board, even these moderate Democrats. Now, I think there are going to be issues where Doug Jones votes with Republicans. And if he wants to go back to the Senate in Alabama, he's going
to
have to go with Senator Shelby, I think, in a number of different votes. Not on abortion or pro-life, but on some other stuff.
Well, yeah, so he's going to have a couple years there where everybody's going to be watching very intently to see what he does. Do you think he'll be able to win over Alabama? I mean, do you think it depends on who the Republicans put up against him next time?
Yeah, I do. Luther Strange had his own problems down there, and that's why he lost the primary. And, you know, the president made a point. You have to find good candidates. You have to recruit good candidates to be able to run these races. I don't think you have to look too far in Alabama to find a Republican who could win a statewide race.
Well,
I mean, minus Roy Moore, you could pretty much go to the phone book, I think,
His race is the fact that they were ever close before some of the statewide races that he's had. That should have been, you know, at least a sign to a lot of people that this could have been a really...
And that was before all the allegations.
Right, that was before the allegations. You know, a lot of people wonder why Mo Brooks got passed over. I mean, this is a guy who has an economics degree, advanced degrees. You know, he's been very popular in Alabama, but that was a tough primary. There were a lot of big names in, and this is where we are now. Okay, so let's talk about the president a little bit. You've talked with him a lot. We've met him and interviewed him and talked with him. He's an interesting character, and I always wondered whether he would somehow be able to pull off a miracle and make Washington bend more to the business mold, the way that he's used to doing things that he says he get it done. But now he's got, as everyone says, 535 people on the board that he's got to convince. How do you think he's liking Washington 11 months in?
Yeah, that's tough to get a sense of. I think he's frustrated by this place, it feels like, just hearing people talk in the White House. I also think he creates his own problems. I mean, some of those tweets and some of those statements could have been a little bit smoother with interchange with Washington.
But he loves the
tweeter. He stirs it up. I don't think that Washington has changed as far as, in fact, I think it's even gotten worse as far as where people are about the president. And, you know, the hope was, I think, that it was going to be different than President Obama, who did not really interact with lawmakers, even Democrats, to have them at the White House and socialize and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. President Trump has done more of that, but because of the Russia investigation, because of some of the tweets and some of the interactions, the friendliness is not there mm-hmm. at all.
There aren't a lot of summits, the so-called summits, the beer summits, the other kinds of summits.
And Democrats have been able to hold the line, which is like for the Heidi Handicamps and the Joe Manchins and soon-to-be Doug Jones. They've all held the line.
Are you going to buy Omarosa's book? You know you are.
I'm sure.
We'll probably get free copies.
Yeah.
We'll get the media advance copy.
I mean, she did some serious teasing on the Today Show today, or with the GMA.
GMA, yeah.
I mean, there was some serious teasing about what's in there. That said, I don't think we have all the details about her being let go. The fact that she was let go in the Situation Room.
Right, where there are no cell phones allowed.
A little different. You don't usually do that.
I'd be afraid if General Kelly or anyone else called me the Situation Room, like, hey, Shannon, I need to have a conversation with you.
Put your cell phone down out there.
He'd be like, uh-oh, this is not going to... I'm not getting a promotion.
No.
Probably not.
No.
Speaking of which, when you got into the business years ago, I mean, not that many years ago, did you ever think that you would end up where you are doing exactly what you're doing now? Did you have a master plan, or what would be your advice for young people getting into this business?
No. I would say the advice, and I've talked about this to some college students who asked me. I said, you know, I did small market TV, bounced around the country, out of college. And I knew I wanted to do this on a big national scale, but I didn't know how I was going to get there. So my advice to kids in journalism is that you are a car on the highway at night, and your headlights don't really work that well. They're really dim. Mm-hmm. You can just make out the road a little bit ahead of you. And then as time goes on, you're still driving, and you get a little bit more of a headlight, and then you get high beams, and you can see a lot of the road. And then before you know it, the sun comes up, and you see the hill and the next place you're going to go, and then suddenly you're there. Mm-hmm. You know, but you never stopped driving. You were still on the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was in Rockford, Illinois, or Raleigh, North Carolina, I didn't know I was going to be here, but...
hanging out at the White House.
Eventually.
You know, interviewing presidents.
Eventually.
Debates, all kinds of fun
stuff. It all came together.
I got fired from my first TV job.
Did you really?
That's a story I always like to tell people, too. Yeah, the guy told me I was the worst person he'd ever seen on TV.
You were the worst person?
The worst, and, quote, you will never make it in this business.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, I'm still working on it.
Where's that guy now?
I want to convince him, but I don't know. Hopefully he watches Fox News. I don't know.
One viewer at a time.
One viewer at a time. No, actually, I was in... the nail salon this weekend, and I happened to have with
I wasn't there.
Listen, you were not there, but there was another gentleman there, and he was getting a mani and a pedi.
Really?
I don't know if you'll ever do both, one or the other. I don't know if you want to divulge.
I've done the pedi with my wife.
See, yes, my hubs will do the pedi. He won't do the hands. I feel like he thinks that's too high maintenance.
I will say that, yeah. I have to be with my wife.
Right. No, no,
it's
no.
It's not a solo operation.
Right.
It is never a solo operation.
Right. Agreed. Well, this gentleman was there, very secure, apparently, in whatever he was doing. He was very nice. He was an older gentleman, and he started talking to us. And he said, eventually, what do you do? Where do you work? And I said, Fox News. And he was like, what? He was horrified. He really was not a big Fox News fan.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent some time talking with him. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm just never going to debate people. It's not productive. But I was trying to do my usual kill him with kindness.
Yes.
Talk about the different shows that we have that are opinion versus news and that kind of thing. I'm not sure I, you know, solidified and locked in a new viewer for us. But I do feel like I had a chance to educate him. And at least he's promised he would check it out.
I don't know.
One person at a time.
That's true. On email, Twitter, it's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, you engage people on Twitter.
I do a little bit.
do you ever say, ooh, maybe I should have.
Yeah, sometimes. Usually it's thanks for watching. And
right. So, yes, if you've now filed your critique, then apparently you were watching.
I love the people who say, I am never watching again. And then the next day say, that story in the B block was horrible.
Right, exactly. Oh, so you came back.
Wait a second.
I did have one of these consultants. You know, on local TV, every station's got these consultants that tell you what to wear and what stories are working, that kind of stuff. And they said, for every 7 positive interactions you have with viewers, you should have 1 really bad one, because there are people who will hate watch. Mm-hmm. And those are viewers too. So
sure.
I bring that on. That's fine by me. Hate watching is fine too. But I think the best thing Twitter ever did was invent the mute button.
Oh,
so you
yes.
don't have to block people. So they can't
don't
go around and say like, oh, I'm proudly blocked by at Shannon Bremen,
yes.
at Red Bear. You just mute them and then you don't have to know the nasty things that they're
so
maybe saying. I
yeah.
know.
We were doing mean tweets Monday.
I love that.
I know. And it was funny for a while, but then suddenly I started getting depressed and I'm like,
right.
this just, the whole thing can get mean tweetish.
It does. Do you ever take a break? Because sometimes I say, okay, that's it. I need to cleanse the palate and no social media.
Vacation. Mm-hmm. Like vacation, I've told my kids and my wife, I'm going to put this thing down. And if somebody needs to get me, I will give them a number where they can get me.
That is the best gift to do for your family. It really
is. So if
is.
I can make it 5 days, that's huge.
Doesn't that feel like eternity, though?
It does.
Because when we come back to do what we do, you feel like you've got to read in so much. Everything that was said, every hearing that was held, every tweet, I mean, everything that's happening. So good for you.
Yeah.
I will try to follow your example.
It's pretty good.
I don't know. It's sort of like you get the shakes after a while. Like,
it's cleansing,
what's
though.
I need to go back.
It's cleansing.
It is good. Are your boys excited about Christmas?
Very.
Does Santa still come to your house?
Santa does come to the house.
Okay, good.
And but he comes to the condo in Naples.
Oh, that's right. Listen.
We go down to Florida.
Santa likes Florida. That's where I will also be, too.
Yes. So we built a cardboard fireplace.
That's right. I've seen it.
Yes.
Did you tweet it out?
I did, with lights. That's before I put the Twitter down.
yeah,
that
before.
And Santa magically appears.
I love that. He can work with cardboard.
He can.
He can do whatever he wants.
That's exactly right.
Santa kind of likes Florida. I, you know, it's my home state, so I like to spend a lot of time there. But he always showed up when I was growing up.
I agree. It's fun. Yeah, they're very excited. 10 and 7. And my 7-year-old is in the heat of hockey season.
Oh.
So I'm a hockey dad early morning Saturday.
Mm.
Little tough.
Mm-hmm.
Little tough. Sometimes the 7 a.m. ice time.
Ooh. And it's cold, right?
Yeah. And I say to Amy, if we were at something on Friday night, I'll say, do you think we could get Daniel dressed tonight? Just put him in bed in his
fine.
Hockey clothes.
Right. We'll add the skates tomorrow.
Save me 30 minutes.
Saturday morning. You are a good dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone agrees on that for sure. but you're proving it by doing this hockey time as well. So how do you kind of take a break? Other than trying to unplug from the phone, what will you do over the holidays?
Literally, we're just going to chill. We were going to go skiing this time, but we're not going to do it. We're just going to chill out. And I'll play some golf.
Nice. It's, you're not bad from what we all hear.
Cathartic for me to play golf. And hang with the kids. And we'll figure out something to do down on the beach.
Will they be body surfing?
Probably.
Oh, there will be.
Yes.
Do you guys do wetsuits or will it be warm enough? Because I think, you know, people think Florida is all hot all the time, but it's not.
It's a little cold. The water is a little cold now. We haven't tried the wetsuit thing, but maybe.
Okay, so I like to end up most of my podcasts by asking people either-or questions for you to choose. And I will tell you, Bill Hemmer was probably the most horrified.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm going to take it easy on you. I mean, one of his questions I gave him is, for 2 weeks, you can either only wear a swimsuit or a full black tie and top hat everywhere you go. He picked black tie. I mean, come on.
He did?
Yes. I mean, Hemmer,
why?
Like, but he just said he felt like that would be more appropriate than doing the news in a Speedo.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's Bill. But I'm going to keep it easier for you today.
Okay.
So let me just ask you some of these either ors. And listen, you're going to upset some people because you got tough choices to make.
Okay.
Dog or cat?
Dog. 100%.
Okay. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix. Although my kids are addicted to YouTube. Let me just interrupt this. I saw my 7-year-old watching a YouTube thing and monitor everything they watch. He was watching a father in Ohio who is, like, having fun with his kids, doing, like, cool things. And the father takes a video of himself with his kids, and it's the whole YouTube channel, and Daniel is sitting there watching. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I really like this. It's really cool. And I said,
Why don't we actually do it?
I'm alive. I'm here. And I do cool things with you.
That is so cute. But that, like, sums up the generation. He's like, I want to watch a dad doing fun
I'm
stuff.
I'm like, I can film it.
Like, right, I'll film us and then we can watch it later. Okay, phone call or text?
Text.
I don't like talking on the phone. Is that bad?
No.
I will with my mom and with my grandmother. That's about it. Otherwise, I want it done with the text.
I agree.
Phone calls get way too involved.
It's like, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye. Well, although we laugh, my precious grandmother, who is 92 years old, this, you start saying goodbye about 10 minutes before you actually need to get off the phone call. I love you. No, I love you more. No, I love you most. Uh-huh. Like, we just, it's the whole thing. But I love her, and she's precious. Okay. Toast or eggs? Or
eggs.
Both. Or both. You
eggs.
Get the protein, right, with the
yeah,
eggs.
Yeah, I like eggs.
How do you like your eggs, by the way?
Scrambled.
Okay, very good. Cardio or weights?
So I do a trainer three times, but I do a... That's very loud.
I know. Sorry. That's my fault.
I'm trying to do cardio. I need to do more cardio. Drop some lbs. Seriously.
It is. But look, look what we've brought in
here. I know. This is really good.
Banana bread in here. And apple
bread.
And
banana bread.
Yes. Yeah. So just ignore that, because this time of year, that stuff's
not
anywhere,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I went to the trainer today, too. And this is something that my hubs wants. You know, he likes. I rather just go for a run. I don't like to be around other people when I'm working out. I find myself getting way too competitive. Like, if I'm in the gym on the treadmill, the person next to me does not know, but we are in a race.
Yes.
To the death. And 100%. So I will not back down. So it's better for me if I just go for a run by myself. But
I do a trainer where I box, and that is really good.
We did that today, and I love it whenever he lets us box. I feel like really it's a good thing. You get the frustrations
aggression out.
I sort of scared myself a little bit. I was feeling a little bit Mike Tyson there. Anyway, it's a good thing to do. Maybe we'll get to do that over the holidays as well. But thank you for making time for us.
Happy to do it. Merry Christmas.
Visiting Live in the Bream. Merry Christmas to you too and to your family. Have a great break, and I will try to do the same.
Yeah, put it down.